Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We got Babe Laufenberg in studio with us. So I want to get right to it. How desirable is the Cowboys head coaching job? Because on the one hand, Fox Sports is listing, you know, the positions as they become open.
Jane said yesterday that around the league, this is still a desirable position.
Exactly. And Fox Sports listed them as number one. Leapfrog the Patriots with all their cap money, a young quarterback. Fox says the Cowboys are number one. And then we go to the cut that I know has gotten a lot of traction nationally, but especially here in Dallas. This is cut number eight. This is Troy Aikman last night on ESPN. Is the Cowboys head coaching job coveted?
As far as a coveted job, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, really? I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high profile team. Whoever is covering or whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
That's fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with that.
So then you have somebody that we all know and love in Troy Aikman giving a very different answer than perhaps other places. Babe, I know you're friends with Troy, but what do you think about, because both feel like reasonable explanations.
I would agree with you. They're both reasonable explanations. And in fairness, Scott Van Pelt asked Troy, is this a coveted job?
Yeah.
So Troy didn't pull the word coveted out of his rear end.
Sure.
He was responding to coveted job. But I would agree with everything, honestly, that Troy said. But if you're looking at the job openings, I mean, I know Vrabel filled the job in New England, but you want to go to New England, you want a Dallas Cowboys. Do you want to go to Jacksonville or do you want the Dallas Cowboys? Do you want the New Orleans Saints or the Cowboys? I agree with you. Obviously,
maybe
Bob
the
Kraft,
Bears. Maybe
pardon
the
me?
Bears.
The Bears would be the one where you might say, you know, obviously you've got a quarterback that you can work with and develop and that appears to be headed to what they hoped he would be, but we'll see what happens there too. As we all know, there's a lot of guys get drafted and 4 years later, they're on the third team at quarterback.
Yeah.
But no, I like Caleb Williams and there's a lot to be said for, I think, Chicago going there, but, hey, the Dallas Cowboys are still, you know, there's about five professional sports teams, right? There's the New York Yankees. There's the Boston Celtics, the LA Lakers, the Dallas Cowboys.
Maybe the Dodgers.
Dodgers. I grew up in LA. Yeah. So
They're in the top 10 easily.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and obviously they're the highest rated team. They're the most popular team. They're worth the most money of any sports franchise. So there's a lot to be said for that. But if I'm a head coach and I'm going to stake my reputation on winning, they kind of haven't won big here for about 30 years, ever since really Jimmy Johnson left, because we all know Barry won with Jimmy's players. And not only with his players, but with the mindset. You know what I mean? The Troy Aikmans and the Daryl Johnstons and the Darren Woodsons, and they were weaned on how to go about your business. So I think as time went on, that dissipated. And kind of guys got here and said, oh, I'm a Dallas Cowboy. It's like, well, no, you're not really yet. It's like you go to training camp. You didn't get the star on your helmet, right? You don't get the star on your helmet until you make the team. So you're kind of earning your way. So I agree with everything that was said there. I'll never forget Chris Collins. We were talking. He said, hey, we would take 17 Dallas Cowboy games
sure.
on Sunday night.
Mm. I have no doubt about that.
So the ratings and doesn't matter. I always say, and it's funny because I think a little apathy is starting to creep in for the first time. I've been here 35 years. And I think for the first time since, you know, the Cowboys were winning Super Bowls the second time around in the 90s, apathy is starting to creep in. To your point where you said, well, I don't care who they hire. What's going to change?
Yeah.
And that's never been the case. I've always said, you know, and doing the broadcast and, you know, having been a former Cowboy and living here in Dallas and being connected to things and blah, blah, blah. When the Cowboys were losing, I get calls from all around the country, you know, top radio stations. And
sure.
They want to know why the Cowboys are losing. And when they're winning, they want to know why they're winning. We don't get a lot. I guarantee you, the guy in Jacksonville who does Jacksonville radio, I don't know who it is. He's not getting a lot of calls with people in New York and L.A. and Chicago saying, hey, we want to find out, why is Jacksonville not winning? They don't care. So here, there's always been that you care, whether you it's, you know, love them, you hate them, you this, you that. And for the first time, again, I sense a little bit of apathy creeping in of, well, what's going to change? And we'll see.
Real quick. Mike Tomlin to any team who may inquire about his availability in a potential trade, quote, I have no message, save your time.
So it, wow.
I want to, because Mike Tomlin specifically.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't want to try and talk for Troy. I think he's right when he says the high profile part. This is just like you said, absolutely. 17 games, they would take him in a heartbeat.
Yep.
But I also agree with Troy completely on the concept that if you're a coach, you know that there are things that you have to encounter. Ezekiel Elliott may not have been good for any other team. They were good for the Cowboys, and maybe the coach didn't want that player. And does he have the decision to say, I need to cut this guy?
Yeah, but
because I got to make a statement to a locker room.
Right,
and now you've taken my control of my locker room and my coaching staff away from me, and I have to deal with that. Troy, when you guys were there, everything was built on winning and excellence. And I think that's the standard Troy holds this to, is we built something because we kicked butt all the time and we knew all the little details that it took to become great. And that's where I feel like he's coming from, is he feels a little let down that it's not the same.
Sure. I mean, and people think Troy hates the Cowboys. He doesn't hate the Cowboys. I think he hates the fact that of what they are today and what they were when he was a Dallas Cowboy.
Yes.
And I say hate, that's far too strong, but
he's hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm speaking for him, which I always say I can barely speak for myself, let alone speak for another person, but I think he'd love it to see the Cowboys come back to prominence. It's not like he's guarding his territory and he wants to be,
they couldn't do it
the
without
72
me,
Dolphins that pop open the champagne because the last team has lost a football game. And no, I think he'd love to see the Cowboys do well. I know he loves Dak. I know he loves Dak, wants to see him do well, loves him as a person, you know, thinks he's a great quarterback, all the above. But and let me backtrack one moment, if I may. I know a number of people, again, 35 years I've been here, right? I came here in 89 as a player and been doing something, either CBS 11, TV, and Cowboy games for the last 28 years. And anyway, when you look at where was I going? I lost my oh, so I know people that have been in the organization, right, in all levels, and they go to and they will tell you, boy, what a S show this is. And then they go somewhere else, they go to another NFL franchise, and then it's like, oh boy. I thought it was bad there, but you won't believe what's going on here. And I won't give you names, obviously, or franchises.
Feel free to if you
want to. I know, no, but it's not. The point is, there is no utopia.
Yeah.
Right? There is no utopia. There is no perfect organization or franchise. And, you know, obviously the Steelers are have tremendous stability. Let me say this. Mike McCarthy was working on last year of his contract this year. Obviously, we know that. Mike Tomlin got an extension at the start of this year, got a 3-year extension. If I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm saying, wait a minute, he hasn't won a playoff game in 7 years.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Tomlin's not a good coach, so don't misconstrue that. But I'm just saying, I'm Mike McCarthy, and I'm saying, wait a minute, I just had 3 12-5 seasons. We've been to the playoffs each of the last 3 years. Won one playoff game. I understand that wasn't the goal, to win one playoff game. But you're looking around saying, wait a minute, he just got a 3-year extension. It was 6 years at the time. Now it's 7 years. Pittsburgh has not won a playoff game. Kevin Stefanski in the opener, Cleveland, he just got extended for 3 years at the start of the season. And Mark McCarthy is like, wait a minute, this guy? And then, of course, you go whip his team in the opener. But everybody ended up doing that. But I'm sure you'd be sitting there, right? And you're saying, wait a minute, I'm doing this over here. He's doing that over there. I'm fighting for my job. And this guy just got an extension. So I think by the end of it, and obviously I wasn't in the discussions. I wasn't privy to anything going on between the Cowboys owner and Mike McCarthy. But he's a Pittsburgh guy. And if you know Pittsburgh guys, I mean, they're a different breed. And Russ Grimm played with Russ Grimm at Washington, and Rich Mallott from Coriopolis, Pennsylvania, right outside. These are steel mill tough guys. And I think Mike was emasculated by the end of this.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, again, I wasn't privy to any of it. So, but I think at some point you say, you know what? You know, if you don't want me, I don't want you.
Yeah.
And again, well, somewhere down the road, book will be written, or McCarthy will talk, or, and, but again, I think, and it's funny because the last couple of weeks, and you guys heard it, he almost got defiant in terms of defending. Before he'd kind of, he'd have these subtle little jabs. And
I could see that.
But at the end of it, he was almost defiant.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was just tired of what was going on.
You mentioned Ben Johnson earlier. If you kind of had maybe a person that you would just love to see get this, who would that be?
Well, it would be Ben Johnson.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I don't know that that'll happen. I don't know that what's going to happen, but, and I know people say, oh, you got to be kidding, but Pete Carroll.
Really?
Pete Carroll would be an intriguing guy to me, only because, again, Who are you not hiring? So if you hire Pete Carroll, you say, wait a minute, you're going to pass up. Who is that guy that you're passing up? There's not that guy where you say, wait a minute, we had a chance to get Don Shula, or we had a chance to get Bill Walsh, or we had a chance to get fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Carroll would be interesting to me, too. He's closer in age to the owner. But I think he still does relate to the younger players. I mean, he's won, right? Here's the other part. There are three coaches that have won a national championship and a Super Bowl. Two of them have coached for the Cowboys. Now you got all three.
Yeah, let's get the third one.
Jimmy Johnson, let's get that third guy in here.
Wow, that is bizarre.
Yeah, let's do it, Kevin. That's great. I love this. This is the kind of stuff I'm talking about.
And Pete Carroll was in a situation in Seattle. He was not, John Schneider was in charge of personnel and ran the draft and all that. Now, obviously, you have input, but so it's not a situation like a Belichick where he's omnipresent in the organization. He handled everything. Signed contracts, blah, 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 and told him how much money to give players and who to draft. And so Pete Carroll doesn't come in saying, wait a minute, I can't work under these conditions with the owner being the GM. And I just think I would be kind of excited if Pete Carroll got here. Other than, again, if you're going to tell me we're not getting Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I keep hearing that name, by the way.
Ben Johnson?
No, Pete Carroll's name. Yes, Ben Johnson. Yeah. Pete Carroll's name, I see it floating in a lot of different Twitter circles.
And again, I want to make it very clear, no inside information. But if you told me Pete Carroll was going to be the head coach here, I'd say, oh, that'll be cool. That'll be interesting. That'll be an interesting deal.
What's your, I don't know what the like number or whatever it is, your likelihood that Dak Prescott next year can be Dak Prescott 2023?
It's a good question because you're a year older and you've got another major injury that you're dealing with. So, you know, he's obviously going to be less mobile than he was. It's not the $6 million man. If you're old enough to remember the $6 million man, and we can rebuild you and make you better. And Lee Majors, that was always my favorite. Mm-hmm. You guys are too young. The open of the show where Lee Majors is running, and I was like, oh my God, how fast is that guy going? You know, not knowing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when I listen to music, I was a big music fan and still am, but 93 KHJ, if we have any Los Angelinos out there listening, it was a kind of a rock and roll station on the AM dial. And everything was A&M, of course, at that point. But I always thought when they played Creedence Clearwater Revival, up there, you know, I thought the bands were sitting in a room and then they would bring them into the room to play their song. And then they'd go back into the room. And
amazing.
John, Paul, Ringo, George. I thought they were just sitting there and they said, well, let's listen to the Beatles. And those guys came out. And then I at like 24, I realized, hey, you know what? That's not really how that works. They've got these records.
Yeah.
Anyway, what else you got for me?
I think.
Come on.
I was going to say, I think that's.
Oh, but getting back to Dak.
Probably it for now.
Mm-hmm. Dak's going to be, you know, he's a pocket passer now, clearly. But can you win with him? Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
You got to get better around him, though.
I completely agree. Yeah.
The receiver, you know, they had one receiver. I like Brandon Cooks a lot. I usually don't get into the coaching aspect of things, but I thought they misused him. He should have been a 1,000-yard receiver. As a matter of fact, this is the only place that didn't make him a 1,000-yard receiver. He's been five stops in every place, 1,000 yards. And I can show you film. He's open. I'm like, throw him the ball. Jeez.
But, well, the new coach will have $11 million in a first-round pick. That probably is enough to
fix. Hell yeah.
Mike, we're going to
fix it all. Thank you very much for jumping on with us, babe. Appreciate it very, very much.
Thank you guys for having me.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, we're going to move into the Expressway. We got some Mike Likes It, but also DraftKings pregame power-up host and Emmy Award winner Trey Wingo next right here on the Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. Right now, we bring to you Emmy Award winner and DraftKings pregame power-up host. It is Trey Wingo. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. What's going on? How are things in Big D?
Well, you know, people are freaking out about Dion or Jason Witten while also accepting the fact that it's probably going to be Kellen Moore. It's been a busy 48 hours or so.
Yeah, you know, the D in Dallas stands for dysfunction at times, and that certainly sort of underscores how we got to this process. I mean, let's just sort of recap. All season long, what had Jerry said? It wouldn't be crazy if we brought back Mike McCarthy. I think he's a great coach. So you go with that premise all along, which means you miss out on a window of opportunity to request interviews for the Aaron Glenns of the world or the Ben Johnsons of the world. Or even look at a guy like Mike Vrabel before the Patriots snatched him up. And then all of a sudden, we don't have Mike McCarthy anymore because of a length of a contract situation. And now we're just like, what the hell are we going to do now? Let's throw all this stuff up to the wall and see what sticks. And that's sort of how you can describe the coaching situation for the Cowboys.
Trey, I'm interested, whenever the Cowboys did this 5 years ago, did you feel like hiring Mike McCarthy was a ridiculous plan at that time?
What I said at the time, and I remember this specifically, was I'll give Jerry credit for this. He had a specific idea of a coach he wanted, and he went out and got that specific coach. And when you guys remember, when he did this 5 years ago, he said, I want someone who's an experienced head coach. I want someone who has been to a Super Bowl and has won a Super Bowl. That's the kind of person I want. And whether it was right or wrong, Mike McCarthy fit that criteria. And for the most part, outside of some playoff disasters, including last year's at home and against the Packers, Mike delivered on a lot of levels, a lot of 12-win seasons, postseason appearances, a playoff win. But obviously with the decimation of the injuries this year for the Cowboys and everything else, it sort of all fell apart this year. I didn't hate the hire at the time, but at the time, Jerry had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest, guys. He doesn't have a plan right now. He doesn't have a plan.
If
that's true,
I agree with that. From strictly a professional standpoint, how amazing would it be if his plan was Deion Sanders and that came to fruition?
Well, that would, I guess, depend on what your definition of amazing is.
Yeah, lots of content.
It would be the most Jerry Jones decision ever. Let's be honest about that. And I am not, I have to say this very carefully. I think it would be wonderful if Deion Sanders was a really good NFL head coach. But I have serious questions about that, because it is a totally different dynamic from going out and recruiting kids and getting them hyped up to play and all that kind of stuff than it is to be a professional football coach. And you can say, well, they're getting paid, it's professional in college. They're kids, and kids are easy to motivate them, scare them or whatever. You know, pros don't react that way. They need to know that you know what you're doing and that you have a plan and that that plan is going to be successful. I'm not saying he can't do it, but I do find it interesting that everybody's just assuming that he's going to be this great NFL head coach, when if you look at the majority of college coaches that go from college to the NFL, most of the time, it does not work out. I mean, that's just a fact. Jimmy Johnson, Dick Vermeil, Harbaugh, although Harbaugh, you know, I consider Harbaugh an NFL guy more than a college guy. Tom Coughlin, that's about it. You know, and people say Pete Carroll, but before he went to USC, Pete Carroll was a two-time head coach in the NFL with the Browns and the Jets. So and the Patriots. I consider him more of an NFL guy than a college guy, although I thought he was awesome at USC. So, you know, it's been great what Deion has done at Colorado. And, of course, it's interesting that if he decides to leave and Jerry decides to hire him, it's after his sons leave and Travis Hunter is leaving, right? So, it would be a content machine for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said I wish the 90s Cowboys lived in the world of social media. They wouldn't have been able to field a team most weeks because of all the suspensions that would have come down. But, whether it would work or not, I think is really – for anybody to say, oh, I know this is going to work, that's crap. That's an opinion, and it may, but there's nothing that would guarantee that this is going to work. Be an interesting experiment, but that nobody can say with any certainty that they know it's going to work out here.
So I wanted to ask you about another Sanders then, and my co-host Mike had brought this up. For Shador, how big is the learning curve going to be having a coach that's not his dad when he gets into the NFL?
That's another great question. And I've heard people, you know, the hot take machines out there, like, well, they should draft Shador and then bring in Deion. Now, of all the things that I'm fairly certain of, the idea of bringing in a father-son quarterback head coach could not be more of a disaster. Like, I don't understand how people think that would be a good idea. And, you know, Shador, there's going to be a learning curve for him. Certainly, there's a learning curve for everybody. Look, this year's draft class, outside of what we do or do not know about J.J. McCarthy at this point, has been okay. But historically, if you go from 2000 to 2019, roughly 50%, or under 50%, by the way, of quarterbacks taken in the first round were not given a second contract by the team that drafted him. Now, that doesn't mean they're all busts. For example, Baker Mayfield is on his fourth team. And he's finally found a home in Tampa Bay, and I think he's playing very well and proving he's a capable, competent, winning quarterback in the NFL. But he's on his fourth team. It took a while. So the idea that these guys will automatically be successful is just not based in reality. It's not based on historical data. This year, it looks like it's working out for the five that went in the first round, or five that played, rather, in the first round. We saw flashes from Penix, and obviously Bo Nix has done some good things. But this would be an outlier of outliers.
Around here, you're either so jaded that you're tired of it, or you're, a complete homer. And when Troy Aikman says it's not a coveted job, that argument exists. And I'm kind of curious, nationally, does Dallas, I know the brand is a coveted thing. Being part of the Cowboys brand is, but is the Dallas Cowboys head coaching job coveted nationally?
Well, there's two ways I can answer that. Yeah. Number one, there's only 32 of them, right? So on some level, every job is coveted.
Yes.
And do you guys remember Buddy Nix, who was the GM of the Bills when they were not the Bills of today? They were the Bills of getting their brains beaten out every year by New England.
Yes.
The GM at the time had to tell people, it's a good job, with that Southern accent. Being the head coach of the Bills is a good job. I think that being the head coach of the Cowboys can be a very good job. But my good friend Mark Schlereth summed it up best years ago. He said, it's one thing to hire a coach. It's another thing to empower a coach. And in his tenure as the owner / general manager, Jerry Jones has empowered exactly two head coaches during his tenure. One was Jimmy Johnson until he couldn't take it anymore. And the other was Bill Parcells, because he knew that Bill Parcells knew what the hell he was doing. Every other coach that Jerry Jones has hired has not been empowered by Jerry Jones. He's the only owner that holds a press conference after every game. Everybody knows that the head coach isn't making the decisions. Jerry's making the decisions. And, the players and the coaches, whenever there's an issue, they'll run to Jerry as opposed to the head coach to figure this stuff out. I consider that to be a problematic business model if you're trying to win football games.
With all due respect to the rest of the divisional slate, which I'm sure is going to be great, I'm all about Buffalo and Baltimore. Are you amped up for this game as well?
Oh, absolutely. It is. I mean, there's a reason it's the Sunday night game, right? And I think there's a reason that the Texans are once again in that beautiful 3:30 Saturday afternoon slot. I think that there is going to be little resistance for Kansas City unless they completely crap the bed, which I just don't see happening, because Andy Reid's record as a head coach in the NFL with a bye is 29-5, including the postseason. And yes, that's the best record in the history of the NFL in those situations. They played their most complete game of the year when they sealed the number one seed and won in Pittsburgh by 19 points and could have really done whatever they wanted there. The game is Buffalo and the Baltimore, because one of those is going to be an opportunity for one of those quarterbacks, either Lamar or Josh, to have a chance to go slay the dragon, which is obviously, Patrick and the Kansas City Chiefs, who are in that AFC Championship game, will be in Arrowhead. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Lamar, actually, in this game.
Yes.
The Bills are at home. They're really good in the division around. Josh Allen is playing maybe his best football ever. And, for people talk about, Josh's failures in the postseason, he's won 6 playoff games. Let's put that another way. That's double the number of playoff games that Lamar Jackson has won.
Mm-hmm.
That was his third playoff win as a starter. So, they look great, and I think Derrick Henry is a huge part of that. They played early this year. Was it Week 8? And they absolutely destroyed Buffalo and Baltimore. I think Josh had his worst game of the season, or second worst, because the next week against the Texans, he was 9-30. I think he was 16-29 in that game. And they just got run over by Derrick Henry. But this is the opportunity for a legacy game for whoever wins to go to Arrowhead and say, hey, we can hang with these guys when everything's on the line. So, yeah, it is by far and away the most intriguing game.
I'm fascinated, Trey, by the amount of big, bold moves the Rams have made throughout their entirety here and on the way to the Super Bowl and all these trades, and it looks like they don't have any cap space and all these things, and they've had 1-5-12 season. Other than that, it's just been winning over and over for the Rams, and they had a fantastic game last night. How have they accomplished this throughout this McVay era?
it's interesting. Let's just specifically stick with this year because every year is different, right? Yeah. Like they started off terrible, 1-4. And you know, it's amazing how much better a quarterback can be when, I don't know, you have good receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, he lost Cooper Kupp. He lost Puka Nacua. And then they had their bye week, week five, the same week as the Eagles. And if the Eagles didn't exist, all we'd be talking about is how well the Rams have played since that point, including the playoff win last night. They're 10-3 since their week five bye. I think with the turnovers they had last night, since that time, they're plus 10 on the turnover differential. Wow. They got 9 sacks last night. I mean, that ties a playoff record, and it just shows you how important the quarterback play is, right? The last 9 sack playoff game in the NFL, you guys want to take a guess when it was?
1970.
No.
Okay.
2021 divisional round, Tennessee Titans, number 1 seed, and in come Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. And they sacked Burrow 9 times in that game.
Gross.
But Burrow had the fortitude and the receivers in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins to find ways to make it work and overcome those obstacles. And they beat Tennessee in that game with Money Mack making the kick as a rookie to send them to the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs. So, you know, even when your offensive line is disintegrating, if you have a superlative quarterback, you can survive those kind of things. The Vikings didn't have it, and the Rams are coming together very nicely at a really good time. But there's a reason Philadelphia has won the record that they have and that have had things that they've done. So it's going to be a very difficult task. It's doable, especially if Jalen Hurts is going to struggle again like he did against Green Bay and was not really – he was really rusty. He looked really rusty. And if that happens again, the Rams are a team that can take advantage of certain situations because of their versatility on offense.
I'm sure people entrenched in the NFL playoffs already know the answer, but – if for some reason they don't, where can everyone find what you're doing and get these opinions more frequently?
Thank you. All over the socials, obviously, at Wingo's on Twitter, Trey.Wingo on Instagram. We host a pregame power-up show on DraftKings Network throughout the playoffs. It'll be at 10 o'clock Sunday morning on DraftKings Network for the divisional round as well as conference championship Sunday, and then we'll be in the New Orleans all week long for the Super Bowl. So check it out, DraftKings Network, pregame power-up throughout the entire football season.
We look forward to seeing you at the Super Bowl. We'll come by and say hi to you, and we need to tell the NFL Hall of Fame voting to do the right thing today and get Darren Woodson in.
Leading tackler in the Dallas Cowboys franchise history and a 3-time Super Bowl champion. Call me crazy, that should count for something.
I love it.
You're not crazy. Thank you very much, Trey.
All right, guys, talk to you soon.
There you go, Trey Wingo, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Love talking with Trey Wingo. Can I give you 2 like bizarre playoff factoids real quick
Sure.
from this weekend that got lost in the McCarthy, everything that happened with that? First of all, and most importantly, Corey, and I know you know this, Houston won 32-12.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know? By God, that's a scoregami.
Oh, nice.
The 1,091st.
In the playoffs?
Just a lifetime scoregami.
32-12
yeah.
Doesn't sound like a crazy score.
And it's never happened in the regular season either.
You're right.
I know.
Mike.
That's what I guess yeah. That just did. Usually, I don't know. Just kind of there's a, oh, who didn't score this number?
Yeah.
You know? And dude, that's interesting.
32 is kind of a funky number.
Yeah. And I guess 12 isn't super funky.
Yeah.
What's the funkiest number?
Marky Mark.
Okay. That's not a number, but
he has the whole bunch. He has a whole bunch of them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He has the funky bunch.
Do you think they still talk? Do you think Marky Mark still talks?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't even know who's in the funky bunch.
Okay.
Let's go find out.
Feel free to let us know. But also, did you know that C.J. Stroud became the 3rd quarterback since 1991 to throw for 101 yards on a single drive?
Hmm. I did not know that.
Which seems confusing.
It does seem confusing.
All right, so.
Was there a penalty and then he had to kind of back it up and then do it again?
See, now you're thinking. The Texans got the ball at their 1-yard line, but not only penalties, but also you can have run plays that lose yardage. So in one drive, he ended up throwing for 101 yards, joining Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson as the only quarterback since 1991 to do that in a playoff game. I just thought that was super neat.
That is super neat, man. I appreciate when you bring these kind of factoids to our world.
Are you looking up Funky Bunch information?
I am looking up Funky Bunch information, and I don't know. There's lots of years and lots of different members that have been teammates that have been in the... Never mind.
Why are you sad about this? I have no idea what's happening.
I'm not going to try and appear on Masterpiece of the Week this week.
Oh.
Kevin.
Oh.
Do you wanna... Let's give something away!
Caller number 10 right
now
will win a four-pack of tickets to see the biggest stars in tennis come to Texas at the Dallas Open. It's going to be on February 3rd, or you can pick February 4th. Caller number 10 wins a four-pack of tickets to the Dallas Open right now, 877-881-1053. And now it's time for Mike Likes It.
I have a few more football questions to get to. Go ahead.
Can I announce something? The Browns are promoting Tommy Rees to their offensive coordinator, so the Cowboys can't interview him.
Did you think this announcement was going to be about the Funky Bunch?
No, I didn't know what the world is going to be. Last time he did that, the Cowboys said we're not bringing
That's
Mike
a good
McCarthy.
Point. That's a good point.
Looking at the coach openings in the NFL, and you can go through them if you want. I know like Jacksonville, New Orleans, New York Jets, Chicago Bears, now Dallas Cowboys have been at it. I'm probably forgetting one off the top of my head. But the Cowboys were the last to at least say our coach isn't coming back. I don't think there's going to be another firing. Do you guys think the firings are done in the NFL for head coaches for 2025?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yes. Do the Cowboys, I'm trying to phrase this question right. Will the Cowboys be the last team to hire their head coach?
I could see that. And I could see it for not football reasons.
Kevin, do you ever see the movie Get Shorty?
I have seen that movie.
John Travolta shows up very late to something. And I think it's Danny DeVito. And he's like, where have you been? And he says, if you're important, people wait on you. And I think that's the way Jerry lives this. He's like, look, if you're important, you go last.
That's what's going to get them in trouble right?
Kevin, I'm not arguing that it's right. I'm arguing that this is the way he approaches it.
I got you.
Whitney Houston had a whole song about it.
How did that song go?
It's not right, but it's okay. I'm going to make it anyway. Pack your bags up and leave. I don't know the last part of that.
Can you imagine Alex's surprise when he's taking the winner's information for the Dallas Open and he missed a bit and then he comes back and he hears Mike singing?
I'm so confused right now.
It's Whitney Houston song.
But maybe
Bobby Brown or men. I don't know.
Yes, Mike. I do think they'll be the last one to hire. I don't think it's going to be a... Because Jerry's wants the most headlines and the headlines by himself.
Okay. Yeah. I was wondering now that they are probably the last to let go of their coach, which that's, I think, always going to happen with the Cowboys. At least if Jerry Jones is around for the next firing or not rehiring, they'll always go last in letting go of their coach when people are at the end of the season going, we're going to let go of this coach. I'm assuming, by the way, the Colts now are coming to my head, as that's another team, right? That's obviously, they fired their coach well before the end of the year, Thanksgiving. Okay, so my next kind of football thing is Joe Mixon. He's kind of a forgotten running back of this era or generation, and I get it. You had Zeke for a small amount of time until partying took over his life completely. Then you have Derrick Henry, and you have Saquon Barkley. And I think in that order right now, I guess Saquon can change that order in the history of football, but those are the two guys right now that we really talk about. But it feels like Joe Mixon just hangs right behind those guys.
Yes.
He against the Chargers looks great.
Christian McCaffrey in that group?
Yeah, McCaffrey's up there too. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not trying to undercut your point.
Don't undercut, because there's guys that I'm going to forget about. But watching Joe Mixon in that playoff game, and obviously McCaffrey did a great job of helping his team get to the Super Bowl last year. A major part, if not the part. I just think Joe Mixon might be one of these guys where he's kind of forgotten of this generation, but man, can he make an impact. If I look at him on the Bengals, and I was looking up his numbers, right now he's 28 years old. He has 7,428 rushing yards, 60 touchdowns, 2,448 receiving yards, and 14 touchdowns. So 74 touchdowns in his career. Almost 10,000 total yards, and he's 28 years old. So he should have two or three more years left. You know, you never know. But as long as he's not a Zeke Elliott party guy, he should be able to last till he's 30.
Can he miss, what, three games this year, four games, something like that this year? He's one of those guys, you know, what happened at OU was a big question mark on what his future held. And I think Cincinnati might have been the perfect spot for him to land because nobody really cared because it was Cincinnati. And then all of a sudden it's spotlight, but Joe Burrow was the star. Ja'Marr Chase was the star. Those guys were the stars up there, and he was good. He was exactly what they needed. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. He's a strong, tough runner. He's exactly what you want. And when he goes down to Houston, he said this multiple times, I'm with a team. I'm finally with a team that I think that I can run with, that he feels comfortable with. They needed his veteran leadership too. And so he's established a really good rapport with Stroud. They worked well together. I've had a lot of admiration for Joe Mixon. He's never been the Barkley, the Derrick
right.
Henry.
We never think of him as the best or maybe next to the best.
But he's like an Aaron Jones for me, where you're like, if I have that, I can win.
It's interesting that you picked that person, because the person I immediately put right with this person is he not Josh Jacobs? In terms of Josh Jacobs is a guy now with the Packers who he moves the needle in a season, but like, I don't feel like he's in this conversation.
Yeah, maybe so.
His rushing statistics and touchdowns that are very similar to Joe Mixon. And so that's who I thought of straight away. But I feel like, to your point, he doesn't get talked about like a whole lot. It's like, oh, could he ever make the Hall of Fame?
Josh Jacobs was a great addition to that team this year. You know, as a matter of fact, I'm not a huge Najee Harris fan.
Sure.
But a friend of mine texted our group, and he was like, Najee Harris to the Cowboys next year. And I was like, that would be a very similar thing to the Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay move, where you need that runner, and maybe it's not the thing that you're like, that's going to change everything, but you need a runner that can run the football like he does, tough kind of runner. But yeah, I think that I look at him as an Aaron Jones. They can do a lot. They're versatile and do a lot of different things. He has grown into a good veteran too for them.
Now I go into Mike likes it, and I thought people liked no commercials. So we're in the expressway right now from about 10:20 to 12:55-ish, you know, right? Somewhere in that range every day. But it seems like you people like more commercials. Should we just run commercials for 35 straight minutes? Would that, guys, get you listening more if we just commercialed this thing up? What do you think?
I feel like probably not.
It's very confusing when, you know, feedback if you guys want. Did you guys even know? I don't know. Feedback. Did you guys even know that we don't run commercials
from 35 minutes?
Yeah, usually we do about approximately 15 minutes and then we have to go to commercial break. But we've done this thing for a while now where we give you almost 40 minutes of uninterrupted content and you people don't even seem to like it. Well, did you even? I'm kidding with you guys. Did you guys listening or girls, did you even know that we are actually doing commercial free radio for this long?
I did.
That I mean,
in your face.
Sure, we did.
I answered his question.
I was going to say, I'm curious to see the answer to this as well, because obviously that's a big part of what we do, but I have no idea.
YouTube, stop doing the random chat. We're actually doing a segment right now. Respond to me. I demand it. Okay, now, next thing. We mentioned it early in the show, a quick pass by. We didn't do baseball nuggets today, and understandably, Kevin and I talked about it. There wasn't too much. Sasaki has called up the Rangers, probably not him personally, probably his agent, yesterday, and said, you guys are out. So if you were hoping for the, let's say, Roki Sasaki miracle of him choosing the Rangers, that's dead and gone. He's down to supposedly the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Blue Jays are the three finalists that he's deciding between. But I think it's been decided for months, and I think it will be the Dodgers. We'll find out. Obviously, the Dodgers are one of the three finalists.
I'm curious where the Padres fall on this, and I know people started to, hey, did this picture get taken out of an apartment window outside of Petco? Is he throwing in Padres gear? And so some people think the Padres have picked up some steam, but I'm bummed that the Rangers aren't going to get Roki Sasaki.
I guess they tried.
They did try.
They went over to Japan multiple times and said, we like you. What's your deal? And he said, well, I guess that's not.
Is that how you think the conversation started?
I'm sure that.
Hey, what's your deal? I'm in Japan.
Chris Young. We're like, hey, we want you to be a Ranger. And they said, well, guess what? Everybody else wants me to be on their team.
And what else you got?
But we just won the world championship. And he said, well, guess who just won it? And then that was the, like, guess what? Yeah, when was the last time the Padres and the Blue Jays did anything? So anyways, Rangers are out. By the way, people are responding. They're saying, cool, Bassick, how about 40 minutes of not talking about the Cowboys? Well, I don't know. And then somebody said, I did, Mike. And then somebody just said, poop. and then, let's see, Eduardo says, Mike always screaming. Well, sometimes. Des Caught It, 88, says, we love commercials. So there's a vote for all commercials all the time. Mike Zip It and Dak Stinks. I'll change that word, but that's from somebody. Stop yelling at me, Mike. Then somebody else said, I also poop.
The Twitch Texas Size Rip says, I'm only here for Mike's live reads. The rest of the show is just filler.
Yeah, it's true. Oh.
Still my favorite one. He goes, go ahead. Try to rob my parents' house. That was an actual thing that happened.
Okay. So anyways, there's people kind of responding. Okay. So somebody really wants G-Bag Nation to get on quickly. So, sorry that we have a job. Okay. So
I love my job.
I'm running out of time here. The expressway's almost up. So people that love commercials, congratulations. They're almost here. I'm going to tease tomorrow because I don't have enough time.
You couldn't have filled this time with whatever you really wanted to talk about?
Maybe, hey, Alec, do you have more commercials you can play?
Not great. Tomorrow, though.
Is that your tease? Corey brings up, is your tease for the segment today? Hey, I know it wasn't great today, but tomorrow, man.
I'd like to do baseball nuggets tomorrow because there's an interesting article on which teams are most likely to repeat as division champs. And I was surprised by the order of the list.
Okay.
And now, commercials!
So tune in tomorrow for the Mike Likes It that Mike really wanted to do until he got caught up. On this, we're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Larry says, read my text, Mike. I just did, Larry.
Coming up next, I hope Corey does the C block that he wanted to do today.
I wanted to get to some hits and misses from the playoff weekend, and I might have another Mike McCarthy question, unless y'all are tired of that. Next on The Fan.